Yeah, we're excited about what the Lord is doing among us. Amen?
Amen.
God is at work. He is on the move. He is not a passive God. He is a God that always wants to be working in and through us if we will let Him. Amen?
Amen.
And we believe that we as a church are not just here to maintain or to just be a small presence. We believe that God has called us to be in this neighborhood for such a time as this. Amen? That we are here in the 14621 community, the northeast quadrant of the inner city of Rochester, to make a difference for Jesus. And so if you're here and you want to make a difference, you're in the right place. Amen?
Amen.
Because we believe that God's going to make a powerful difference in this city, and He's going to use our church. We pray for other churches and other pastors as well, that God will use the churches and pastors in the city throughout Rochester. But we also believe that God's going to do something special with us. Amen? We believe that. And with that in our hearts, let's bow our heads and pray in expectation for today's word. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us today to come into your presence. Thank you for allowing us to worship you with all of our hearts. Thank you, God, that you are here. We welcome you
into this place, Lord, today. Minister to us as we need to be ministered to. People are here with all kinds of pain and trials and difficult circumstances. Some are here doing well, kind of coasting through life. Things are good. But we want to go higher with you. We want to go higher into the purposes that you have for us. I thank you, God, that you did not create any mistakes. That every person that is sitting here today has a purpose and that you have a plan for their lives, God. We pray that we might be able to find that purpose and embrace you and walk with you towards the destiny that you have for us. Father, there are some here who have succumbed to the identity that other people have bestowed upon them. People have heard negative things about who they are and what they're all about. And I pray today that by your Spirit, God, you allow all of us to recognize our identity is in you, Lord. Our identity as children of the Most High God. So our hearts are open to receive what you have to say to us. Our minds are alert, God. Our ears are open. Minister to us and touch us today through your word. I ask that you would stand and miss my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go to the book of Acts chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can open up with us. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it because we're going to put the scripture on the screen. Sometimes I ask people to open up their scriptures and if they have them, because there is a good practice to know where things are in the scriptures for yourself. So many of you know that there's been hurricanes and different things that are happening in different parts of the world. Certainly here in the U.S. and Puerto Rico is still a lot of devastation. Many of our family members and people that we love are still without power, and we pray for them. But I've gotten so used to reading my Bible from my phone that sometimes I think, you know, if I lost power, I would need to go back to my regular Bible, right? And if things went down, we would need to know what the scriptures are all about. So I encourage that today as well. This past week, my wife Amy and I were going on a trip to New York City, and we had a wonderful time there. But as we were going to the trip, we realized a night or two before, we realized something amazing. And I think, more specifically, I realized something amazing. We were going to be in New York City at the same time that the New York Yankees were playing in New York City. Hallelujah. And I said, this must be God. This is like one of those God moments where everything works out perfectly. And it kind of was, because they actually changed the date of our trip several times. And it just so happened that the Yankees were going to be playing in New York while we were there. And I looked at my bride and said, what do you think? And she gave me the thumbs up. So I said, let's do it. We're going to go for it. So order tickets, you know, to the game. And we're really excited about that. The reason why I love the Yankees, by the way, is preach Yankees for 1 minute, okay? Just 1 minute. When I was a kid, my grandfather would sit next to me over the summers in our house. He would sit next to me, and when he would come to visit us, and we could watch almost every Yankee game that was on, and he had never seen anything like it in his life. My grandfather, of course, he's old school. He would listened to games on the radio back in Puerto Rico, and the Yankees were always the team that he cheered for. So he taught me about the Yankees, and I have a special love for them because I'm connected, you know, with them and my grandfather and all that stuff. Are you with me? So that's our. So I'm devoted to this team. Like, even when they were bad, I was devoted to them. And this, here's an opportunity to go to a game. So I get the tickets and everything's good. And at some point, the morning of the game, which was the same morning that we were traveling to New York, I realized that I don't have the tickets in my phone where they're supposed to be. They were going to send them digitally to my phone, and I didn't have the tickets. So I called the company and said, hey, I bought tickets from you. You know, the game's today, so I kind of need those tickets. Said, oh, yeah, no problem. We'll take care of it. It will be no problem. So we've traveled to New York. Now we're in New York. Everything is fine. I'm checking my phone just about every 10 seconds to see if the tickets have come through, and they haven't come through yet. And so we get to New York, and I call the company again, and I say, it's game day. It's like noon already. I don't have the tickets. What's going on? Oh, you know what? We're trying. Don't worry about it. We guarantee that you will be, you know, you'll get to the, we guarantee it. I'm like, okay, well, I just paid for the tickets. Can I just see them so I feel better? Don't worry about it. You'll get them soon. A couple hours pass. Now it's like in the afternoon. The game's in the evening. I guess that. I call them again. I know that nobody has ever had any customer service experiences like that with anyone else, right? Cell phone companies or otherwise. But so I call them again, and they promptly say, hey, you know, we're gonna get there. At that point, I say, you know, let me talk to someone. Let me talk to a manager because the game's tonight. And I painted this picture. I'm like, I said to them, I traveled to New York City with my pregnant wife. Pregnant wife. And we're in New York. We're not from New York, but we are there. We're going to this game. We're going to adventure, you know, the traffic and all the craziness of New York City. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to take her. And I have this picture. I'm telling this to the manager. We're walking to Yankee Stadium, and there it is. And I'm with my wife, and the tickets are still not in my... That's not a pretty picture. Please, could you help me out? And again, I'm devoted, right? Because I love them. Because my grandpa connection, right? The whole thing. This the Yankees, the play. Okay, so we get to the stadium. Surely everything will be fine when we get to the stadium, right? Pull up my phone. No tickets yet. So I'm a man of the word. Praise God. And I'm a pastor. But something is starting to arise inside of me. Do you know what I'm talking about? Something. I don't know what to call it. I don't know what it was, but something was arising inside of me. And so I made the phone call. And I said, I'm standing in front of Yankee Stadium. Bless the Lord. I didn't say bless the Lord. And with my pregnant wife, as I said before, and I still don't have the tickets. And everyone looks so happy walking into the game. And we're outside. No, we're gonna get that right. So in about 30 minutes, I finally got the tickets to go through to my email. And I'm not going to go too deep into this because then you'll start really praying for me and crying for me. But I got the email that I was supposed to get like a couple days before. And I'm like, okay, here it is. Tickets. Accept the tickets. And I click on it. And it gives me an error message. Picture this. My beautiful, wonderful, pregnant wife is next to me. Yankee Stadium is there. I finally got what I've been asking for, and I clicked on it, and it doesn't work. And through my discoveries, I found on the website that it says, you can only accept these tickets through a laptop or a desktop. And FYI, I don't usually bring my laptop to the game. You know, it's like, I have work to do, but I'm not that bad. And so I'm like, so I called them. I'm saying, I've been talking to you for a couple days, and the tickets are finally here, but I can't accept them. Oh, we'll help you. We'll do all this stuff. I'm devoted to the New York Yankees. Are you with me? This is the playoff game is happening. I'm starting to hear them singing the national anthem. Something is going to happen. And so we're in a parking garage, like in the corner of the parking garage. This is hilarious. And Amy is being so patient, just kind of pacing and walking and checking her phone. And she, I'm like, oh, Lord. And it's 7:30. It's 7:45. It's 8 o'clock. The game starts at 8 and some change. I can't get through. We're so sorry. We're really trying. I don't know what else to do. At some point, I could hear the sounds of the game. The first inning had begun. And if I can be honest, I thought to myself, this is not going to work. It's over. Forget it. I started to have those thoughts. Because, you know, I've been trying. But we just happen to be reading this book called The Last Arrow by a man named Irwin McManus. And he says, never give up. Don't quit. If you have to, you know, keep going. I'm like, okay, God, help me out. Give me that Irwin McManus anointing for The Last Arrow. You know, it's got to, God, please help me. And at some point, God gave me an idea. And I said, well, I can't do it from my phone. But if somebody pretended to be me on a computer, they could actually do it and then send it. And I was thinking, well, who has a Mac? Who has a Mac? Who has a Mac? And I called Sister Suzanne. Actually, Amy said, call Suzanne. And I was like, you know what? Let me try that. And so can we all clap for Suzanne? Because she saved us. We were able to get into the game after she did what she did, got the tickets on my phone. We finally walked in. And listen, and of course, I know that the Yankees lost last night, and I'm, you know, you can pray for me about that too. Yes, I did stay up to watch that, sadly. But we walked in the game, and nobody has scored yet. I was like, oh, thank you, God, that nobody has scored. And then we walked in, and we're just standing, and somebody hit the ball for the Yankees. I'm like, oh, yeah, so we're not missing anything. And then we're walking out, and there's this huge stream, and all of a sudden somebody goes, boom, and hits a home run. So we were in the building when they first scored the first home run. Praise be to God. Amen? But the only reason that we actually made it, we had a magical, wonderful night. We had a great time together. It was like an epic night. Like we were at the stadium, and it's the fall, and it's a playoff game. It was so much fun. Surrounded by people who had a few too many drinks, praise God. But we had a great night, and we would have missed out on it. Listen, I would have missed out on the whole thing. You know, if I would have done what? If I would have given up. If I would have given up, I would have missed out on everything that night represented for me, which was, we won't forget it. We won't soon forget it. If I had given up, we would have never seen it. You ever had an experience like that? You're devoted to something and you really wanted to see it. And sometimes you come, you know, so many obstacles, so many things. I don't think it can work. I don't think I can do it. Maybe a devotion to your kids. And so you do anything you can to get the kids in the right school or try to help them in the way you can. A devotion to your career. So you're studying, you're doing everything you can, interviewing, trying to move forward because you're devoted to that. Earning a better income, getting help in your marriage with your kids. The definition of devotion is right on your fill-ins, and hopefully you got these. Definition of devotion is love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. It's love, loyalty, or enthusiasm. Everyone say love, loyalty, or enthusiasm. I just told you that I have a devotion for the Yankees because it's attached to my grandfather. But the question that I have throughout the day is, what are you devoted to? What do you have love, loyalty, and enthusiasm for? And just a thought here, your devotion to the best things, that's the first fill in there, your devotion to the best things can transform your family, community, city, and world. And you'll see how that goes in 1 second. But what or who has your devotion? The world would be a better place if people remained devoted to the right things. If people remained devoted, well, what's that? If they remained, they had their love, enthusiasm, loyalty for the right things. If people were devoted to those things, the world would be a better place. Marriages would be in a different state than we are today in this country if people were devoted to their marriage. Our kids might grow up in a safe home, in a place where they can grow and flourish if we were devoted to seeing God do everything he can to do in their lives. What are you, what has or who has your devotion? In our community, we're devoted to seeing lives change and transformed by God's power. There's plenty of examples throughout history of people who were devoted and love, enthusiasm, and loyalty for a cause, and nothing was going to stop them. The only thing that could stop them in the physical world was their death. And we know about people like Martin Luther King Jr., who was devoted to equality. Are you with me? He had a love and enthusiasm and a loyalty to the dream of equality. And the only thing that stopped that man was a bullet. because nothing else was going to stop him. And listen, everyone and anyone in the society, many tried to stop what he was doing. Did you know that? There were obstacles to his devotion. His devotion went against some of the things that other people were saying. And he said, no, I'm devoted to this thing. And only when he died. But even still, listen, one man's devotion is still working today, isn't it? Because his dream is still the dream that we see. Man, that is a beautiful thing. We're going after that. Mother Teresa was devoted to the poor. And she gave her life in one of the poorest cities in the world, in Calcutta, India, to blessing the poor people. There's a famous story about her, of some people from the Western world, from America and from other places, that went to see what she did and to learn from her. And she looked at these kind of Westerners and said, have you seen Jesus? I want you to see Jesus. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? I said, I want to show you Jesus. And so she started walking, the sweet old lady, if you've seen pictures of Mother Teresa, and the people were following her, and she went into an alley, and she saw a man that was stinky and homeless and almost dying. And she went and knelt next to him and embraced him. And she looked at those people and said, here's Jesus. Here he is. Because the Bible says, whatever you did to these my brothers, you did unto me. And her devotion to the poor still lives on today. What or who are you devoted to? What has your love? What are you loyal to? What do you have enthusiasm for? Sports? Nothing wrong with that. Pleasure? Making money? Power? Position? What are you devoted to? Some people are devoted to what other people think about them. Their entire life is about trying to make sure that everyone likes them. They're devoted to that. Even above doing the right thing so that other people will be okay. Some people are devoted. They find that they're succumbed by an addiction. You say, well, they're not devoted to that. Well, they've given their life to that. They're giving they look for it. And you see the destruction that ultimately we see around us. Even this morning, I was driving in and I saw a young man that was in the parking lot doing drugs. And as I drove in, he kind of perked up and kind of ran away. And you know what my heart was? My heart wasn't thinking, oh my goodness, why are these people here? What are they doing? My heart was broken for him. This is a man that Jesus died for. And he is so broken in his addiction. Because at some point, what started off as, well, I need that hit or I need that high. He was devoted to that. I love that. And I love that. Ultimately, because he was devoted to the wrong things, it actually destroyed him. God help us to be devoted to the best things. Because the best things can transform our family, community, city, and world. The scripture says this. They, the early church champions, who were the first church in the world, and that church transformed their city, and that church transformed their community. 3,000 people believed and were baptized in one moment. How many of you guys like to see 3,000 Rochesterians come to Jesus and be baptized? Amen? That would be awesome. Listen, it has happened before. It can happen again. We are here today, you and I, because of that early church. There are 2.2 billion, billion with a B, adherents of Christianity in the world. And those 2.2 billion owe their faith, owe their church to the early church. Because the early church champions did amazing work and they touched the world. And it all started here. These guys were champions. So one of the fill-ins there is these champions, I know it's underneath the scripture, but these champions of God's first church loved, were loyal to, and enthusiastic about the right things. The scripture says, Acts 2, verse 42, they what? Themselves. Can we just stop for a second? Just stop for a second. The people from the early church, Jesus ascends, leaves Peter, John, and James of the early church, and then God does a mighty work in Pentecost, and the people are together. But I just want you to see something. They were devoted to something. And some of us have problems being committed to something, being committed to someone, staying with it, persevering. And I just want you to see that one of the characteristics of the early church that transformed the entire world, you and I included, their characteristic was they were devoted to something. They were loyal. They loved. They had enthusiasm for something. What or who has your devotion? Because it can actually change the world, as the early church showed us. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The early church was devoted. My daughter Sarah is 3 and a half, almost 4. When she wants something, she does not easily forget that she wants that. I want a cookie. It's nap time. Okay, Daddy, after my nap time, can I have a cookie? She gets up from the nap. Hi, princess, how you doing? Daddy, can I have my cookie now? Are you with me? Devotion. She loves it. She does not forget it. Sometimes I think, man, I wish I had some of that in the things that matter most in life. Devotion to my wife and my kids. Devotion to the things that God's calling. Devotion to just love the people that are in my life. There's a friend of mine, David, close friend of mine. He was actually at my wedding. He got a bad report. He got a health scare, and he got a bad report. And from that moment on, this was like almost 2 years ago, from that moment that he got the bad report from the doctor, his whole outlook on health and eating well and fitness has totally changed. He got so scared that this man, I mean, we'll go out, he'll eat the veggie burgers. Are you with me? Thank you. I see some brothers going, oh, veggie, oh my goodness, Lord have mercy. Hey, God bless veggie burgers. My wonderful bride eats veggie burgers, and veggie burgers are good. Someday I'll try them. Pray for me. She's helping me, right? But here's the deal. He became devoted to his health when he got scared, right? And sometimes our devotion doesn't change until we are freaked out. Oh my goodness, what's going on? I need to change. Sometimes people don't devote themselves to freeing themselves from the bondage of alcoholism until they realize, I'm losing my family, I'm losing my work, I'm losing my life. This is a problem. And then they become devoted. Oftentimes in addiction circles, people say, people don't get better until they hit bottom. And here's what they mean. People don't get better until they hit bottom, because when somebody hits bottom, their devotion changes. Are you with me? That something starts happening, and they start love, enthusiasm, loyalty for, I want good things. I recognize that this has destroyed my life. What or who has your devotion? Here's a wonderful thing. And I'm going to skip down to that scripture towards the middle of your page. It says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this church that was devoted, it started with devotion, and it ended with God adding to their number every day. People coming to Christ, addiction chains being broken, families being restored, lives being healed. All kind of, a revival happened in the early church, but it started because they were devoted to something. Amen? And my prayer for us as a church is that we will become devoted to the best things, the things that God is calling us to devote ourselves to. To be devoted to the apostles' teaching is a devotion to God's word. That's one of the fill-ins there. To be devoted to the apostles' teaching is a devotion to God's word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to a certain instruction, to the word of God. Be very careful what you devote your life to. I just had a conversation with someone the other day who was telling me that they were not believers. They did not believe in Jesus. They had just lost their faith. And I said, okay, what do you believe? And it was an amazing sight to just listen to them try to ramble on. They could not identify what they believed in. But whatever that cloud was that they couldn't even articulate to me clearly, that's what they believed in. And I said, my goodness, this person is devoting their entire life to something that's not even solid. There's nothing there. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Everyone say God's word. To be devoted to the apostles' teaching is a devotion to the word of God. Now, I'm not going to have time today to go through some of these. We will do that in the weeks that are coming up. But I'm just going to mention them today. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. To be devoted to fellowship is a devotion to connecting to others. Surprised about that one, right? Connecting to others. They were devoted to fellowship. They weren't lone rangers. They were devoted to staying together. To be devoted to breaking of bread is a devotion to serving and sharing. To serving and sharing. Breaking bread. I give you, you give me. We're sharing and we're serving each other. And then to be devoted to prayer is a devotion to daily connection with God. It's a devotion to daily connection with God. The results speak for themselves in the early church. The results speak for themselves. Here we are today, 2.2 billion people that are following Jesus. The results speak for themselves. The Church of Jesus Christ is all over the world. The question is, yes, but how? How can we work on our devotion? My devotion to this, the Yankees got me into the game. Even when the obstacles seem high, man, this is not going to work. But I love this team. We're going to figure it out. And by God's grace, the Lord allowed us to get in. But it took devotion. It took impetus. It took perseverance. It took persistence. Amy and I watched a movie about the founder of McDonald's. I think I mentioned it before here. One of the things that this guy would do, Ray Kroc, who, by the way, wasn't the nicest guy in the world. So I don't think that you should follow his life model per se. But when it came to business, this guy was tenacious. And he would literally listen to recordings. Remember the old records? Vinyl records, right? Anybody ever listen to those? Yeah, I love those, right? It brings back memories of my dad and my family when we were kids putting on the vinyl record. So he would put a record on, and the record was just somebody telling him persistence. Many talented people have never accomplished anything because they didn't have persistence. But a person who has persistence will go on to do great things, so on and so forth. And he listened to this every night. And so no matter what the obstacles were in front of him, he eventually broke through, and he was a persistent man. And everyone told me it couldn't be done. He ended up being the founder of McDonald's, and you've heard of McDonald's, right? Ate there last night, praise God. Hallelujah. Persistence, devotion. Are you with me? Is this making sense to you? Some of you are not where you need to be because you're devoted for a little while. You're devoted to God for a little while. You're devoted to your health for a little while. You're devoted to a person, a relationship. Oh, this is so fun. We're dating. We're having a good time. It feels so nice. But the moment that there's trouble, our devotion wanes. Are you with me? The early church was devoted to some things that they kept pounding and said, we're devoted to this no matter what. And they ended up changing the world. And I'm telling you that your family and the people around you will be changed because of you if you stay devoted to the things of God. Amen? If you stay devoted to the best things. God added to their number daily those who are being saved. How do we do it? Couple of thoughts on this. Write a devotion inventory. Devotion follows examination. In other words, think about what you're devoted to. Think about it. Write it down. Type it up in your phone, in your computer. Write it down physically in a piece of paper. What am I devoted to? Well, how do I know what I'm devoted to? Okay, think about this. What do you love? What are you enthusiastic about? And what has your loyalty? What really has that? Well, Jesus does. Does he have your love? Does he have your enthusiasm? Well, I gotta go to church today because that's what we gotta do. Listen, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I fall in love with him. I told Emmy the other day, one of the things that happens is an amazing thing in marriage. The more you get to know a person, and the more you invest in someone, and they invest in you, your love, listen, in marriage, your love can actually grow for your spouse. I love her more today than I did the day I married her. But what are you talking about? What? Because I've been closer. I'm getting to know her. We're spending time with each other. I'm getting to know her heart. She's getting to know mine. There's nothing like that. Is everything perfect? Anybody perfect in the house?
No.
Right? My goodness, it's pretty close. Hallelujah. I married a good one. But the closer we get, the more love grows. Listen, if your love for the Lord is kind of, it's because you're far away. From a distance. It's hard to love from a distance. But closeness and conversation. And if something's wrong between you and the Lord, just like if something's wrong between you and your spouse or you and one of your kids, at some point, somebody has to humble themselves and say, let's talk. Let's talk. There's a song, an old song from some years ago, that a person talking to God is saying, how is it between us, Lord? How is it between us? When did I talk to you last? And what has happened since? How is it between you and the Lord? Write a devotion inventory. What has your love, your enthusiasm, your loyalty? And here's the deal. Listen, can I just tell you, my devotion is not 100% of the time with Jesus. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes I care more about other things than I do about the Lord. And usually I get in trouble. And when I hit bottom in that circumstance, I remember, oh my goodness, my devotions are out of whack. My priorities are out of whack. Jesus, be what my heart is devoted to again. And here's a cool thing. When I'm devoted to Jesus, he blesses my marriage and my kids and the church and my relationships. It's like, wham, it's unbelievable what Jesus does. But when Jesus is put down in our devotional energies, in our devotional heart, he's put down and other things take his place, we get into trouble. So write a devotion inventory. Devotion follows examination. Where am I for you? Number two, read a chapter of the book of Acts every day this week. Here's something that I'm just encouraging you to do. Nobody's going to check on you, but part of the read a chapter and see what they were like. Devotion follows knowledge. Sometimes we don't know what to do. How do we get there? Because we don't know. Somebody said that our output, you know what our output is? It's what comes out of our lives. What comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your mind, what comes out in who you are. Our output has a direct correlation with our input. Right? So what we put inside of us eventually is going to come out. If Christ and his word is inside of us, that's what's going to come out. But if other things are inside of us, that's what's going to come out. So read the scriptures. Read a chapter of the book of Acts. The reason why I tell you about Acts is because this is the early church that was they devoted themselves to these things. And you get to see it in action. Number three, join a small group. Devotion follows connection. Devotion follows connection. Oh, man. I know maybe this hasn't happened to anyone else, but I'm going to work out. I have a plan to exercise. And I just woke up today and I just don't feel like it. Anybody ever had that experience? I just don't feel like going to the gym. I don't feel like exercising. But here's what happens. If you have someone who is working out with you and you're supposed to meet with them and you talk to them, hey, how you doing today? Say, yeah, hey, let's go to the gym. Say, man, I don't feel like going, but this is the person I'm with. So, you know, I'm going to go work out just because my friend is going. So I got to be there, right? Otherwise, who's going to help him if he drops the weights on himself or something, right? Listen, oftentimes our devotion follows connection. We stay devoted because we're connected to other people who are devoted too. That's why church is so important, you guys. It's not because we need to sit here and you need to listen. No, it's because it's a body, it's a group. And we are going to, the persons next to you, we're all connected. Devotion follows connection. So be careful who you connect with. And again, we have some small groups here. We would love for you to be part of those. And finally, sign up to serve. Often, devotion follows action. Devotion follows action. There's a study that was done some years ago on marriages. And they would say this. They'd say there was a wife who just wanted to leave her husband. She was done with the marriage. She just didn't want anything to do with him anymore. And the person that they were counseling with said to her, he said this to her. He said, listen, for a couple of weeks, for 2 weeks, treat him as if you were totally in love with him. You don't feel that inside, but just treat him as you would treat him, as if you were really in love with him still, and you wanted to serve him, and you still wanted to be part of this marriage. And after some time she came back, it might have been 2 weeks, it might have been a month, something like that. After some time she came back and she told that counselor, "It's amazing what's happening. Something's starting to happen in my heart. My heart is softening again for my husband." And her action, even though she didn't feel it, are you with me? She didn't feel like doing it, but she started acting as if she would. And her action, and eventually devotion followed, and they stayed together and they had a good marriage. Oftentimes, devotion follows action. So in the church and with God, sometimes it starts by us starting to serve God in some way, and then we see our devotion, our heart, start to change. What or who are you devoted to? Yankees, that's okay with me. I'm a New York team guy. But if that is the thing I'm devoted to the most, there's a problem, right? If money is what I'm devoted to the most, there's a problem. Some of you are struggling with addictions in the house. If you will open up your heart and allow God to enter in and start changing your heart and what you're devoted to, you'll start seeing some freedom. If you will do an examination, do a written inventory, if you will start reading the Word and start getting things inside of you so that your output will be different because the Word is coming inside of you. The Bible says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. If you will connect with people, join a small group. If you sign up to serve, devotion follows action. Here's the last thing I will say about all of this. What or who are you devoted to? On November 19th of this coming month, November, we're starting a second service. And I've had many conversations about this, and I am very thankful and excited about what the Lord's going to do. We're starting a second service because more of our community needs to hear about Jesus. Amen? More of our community needs to be devoted to something other than the devoted things that they have been that are destroying their lives. We believe that. And so we want to reach more people for Him. We want to be good stewards of our space. This space only fits about 100 people. And we want to maximize our space. And so we want to give people more options as well. Oftentimes in church, say, "Hey, this is our church and this is our time. Take it or leave it." No, we want to say, you know what? We have an option. You can come to a 9:30 service or an 11:15 service, whichever one fits best for you. And so that's going to start November 19th. Also, for people who are looking to serve, we are creating more and more serving teams. If you're looking to put some of this stuff into action, you know, right? Devotion follows action oftentimes. Start serving with us. We have children's ministry, hospitality, transportation, some of the things that you see there on your sheet. And we would love for you to be a part of it. You say, "How do I do that?" Make sure you sign in your connection card, put your information and say, "I'm interested in serving in one of these areas," and we will get back to you. I need you for the congregation to be praying for this day. I say this last week, I'll say it again. We need you. Amen? We need you. Listen, we need you not so that you can be part of a process or a system. Listen, we need you because our dream is building champions. Amen? And a champion is someone who's connected to God and connecting to people for real and serving and sharing. And we want you to experience that championship life. And so we need you. Pray for us for that day. We're excited about what the Lord's going to do. Could it be that someone in this community or someone in your family or someone in your circle of friends will come to know Jesus and be transformed in their heart and their eternal souls change destinies because you invited them, because you invested in them, because you opened up your heart to them? Because when our devotion changes, our life changes. Amen? When our devotion changes, everything changes. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you so much for helping us, reminding us, teaching us to be devoted to the best things. A devotion to the best things will lead to a transformed family. Oh God, help us. Our families need you, Lord. If you're here today and you know your family needs transformation, just cry out to God right now. Say, "Lord, transform my family. Help us. Be with us. Transform our community, our city, and our world, Jesus. We need you so much. Lord, we are so thankful for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for November 19th. God, we're excited about what you are doing in our midst. We're excited about the work that you are a part of, and we are so thankful to be part of that work that you're doing in this community. We declare that many people will come to Jesus in this community. We declare that addictions will be broken in this community. We declare that families will come back together in this community. We declare that fathers who have been absent from their homes and whose kids do not know their face will come back and start being the fathers and the dads that you've called them to be for their kids. We declare restoration and healing in Jesus' name. And we thank you for what you're doing in this church. We pray for other pastors and other churches in this community. We bless them. We ask you to fill every church in this city, that you people would be drawn to you, that you, a move of God would break out, that you would bless churches all over. We bless those pastors, and we thank you for that. And we ask you to bless us as well, Lord, to bless heart and soul. Bring people and help us to do what you called us to do. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah.